on a hill.
Freeform Radio, 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford.
Hey guys, it's Brian Young of A Crash Course for the Ravers.
It's a crash course for the Ravers.
Where we play deep cuts, lost classics, live tracks, your requests, and plenty of local rock sprinkled throughout. I'm joined by my beautiful co-host, Marie Michelle.
That's me.
1 to 4 p.m. Saturdays. Don't miss it on 91.5 WMFO in Medford.
I woke up to the sound of German hip-hop in my head. A great unholy clatter quickly filling me with dread. I wondered then if silence had forever disappeared. What with everybody yelling, the end was finally here. I scrambled for the television, desperate for its light, stars could stop this endless night. I waited for instructions, I waited for a sign, I listened very carefully when told just what to buy. Lovers became bitter, mathematicians counting crumbs. Some were filled with angry lust, the rest felt mostly numb. The sun became the enemy, they ate hunger after dark, and killed time swapping partners at a club called Noah's Ark. It's far from cheap, and those that couldn't get in started fighting in the street. The day came, so we gathered in a field behind the mall. A noted scientist predicted there we see it all. The city council members came. They told us not to fear. The king and queen of homecoming both shed a poignant tear. Its eye. The molecules collided and became part of the sky. In all my life, I've never known a moment quite so still, like space that's being emptied at the same time that it's filled. I woke up to the sound of German hip-hop in the air. It sounded like the hum of insects nesting in my hair. I wasn't so much tired, but I felt that I should sleep. So I closed my eyes and mumbled something about a soul.
Still, I see them working out fine. This is a man with my- Good Sunday morning, everyone. It is 4:30 here at WMFO in Medford, 91.5 on your FM dial on the internet, www.wmfo.org. We multicast on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. And you can download the WMFO mobile app, 91.5fm.org. I'm your host, Evangelist and Pastor Teacher Donnelly Vernon Brown. This Sunday, the last Sunday in January, January 31st, 2016. And this is another edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. Talking sports here virtually every Sunday, not last Sunday, and late this Sunday. But anyway, from generally from 4 until 5 a.m., and love to get you involved in the conversation. And to do that, you have to give me a call, 617-627-3800 with the magic number, 617-627-3800. Just about anything and everything is fair game. As far as the world of sports is concerned, I'd love to hear your perspective on what's going on there in your neck of the woods. That number again, 617-627-3800. 617-627-3800. I'll be back. Okay, it's 4:33 here on WMFO in Medford, 91.5 on the FM dial on the internet, www.wmfo.org, and we multicast on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. And let's get right into the men's college basketball scores from last night. Oklahoma, 77. LSU, 75. Excuse me. Saw a little bit of that game. I didn't even know that Oklahoma was number one in the country. But anyway, LSU was leading most of the game, and the game was played at LSU. They were up 8, 10, 12 points, I guess, before I turned it off. And surprised that Oklahoma came back on the last second shot to win the game. Anyway, I was watching the kid from Australia primarily, who plays for LSU, whose name escapes me. And right now, I think he's a really good player. To me, he doesn't lack that. He does lack that aggression that you look for in a number one pick. But he does have skills, without a doubt. He was leading the team in rebounding and other important aspects of the game. And he's unselfish, and that's probably why they lost. He doesn't command the ball. And then the other players, they were playing fairly good, fairly well, but I guess they fell asleep near the end of the game, and so therefore they lost. Okay, other scores. North Carolina 89, BC 62. BC's out of their league. No one listens to me. Where's the Big East when you need them, right? Kansas 90, Kentucky 84. Texas A&M 72, Iowa State 62, Xavier 86, DePaul 65, upset. Florida, who's unranked, defeated number 9, West Virginia 88-71. Providence 73, Georgetown 69, Virginia 63, Louisville 47, SMU 80, Memphis 68. Another upset, North Carolina State, who was unranked, defeated Miami 85-69. Not only defeated, they pounded them 85-69. Baylor 83, Georgia 73, Arizona 80, Oregon State 63. Indiana 74, Minnesota 68, and Purdue 89, Nebraska 74. Excuse me. With all of the major football games over until tomorrow, next Sunday's rather, Super Bowl, I'll be able to concentrate a little bit more on college basketball and other sports like that. There's just so much time here. I got so many things going on. It's like, you know, okay, I follow what I can when I can. Let's go to the women's college basketball. Only a few games in the top 25. Among the top 25, UConn still rolling. They defeated Memphis 83. Should I just call it a defeat? They cremated Memphis 83-40. And the UConn ladies have won 50, count them, 57 games in a row. 57 games in a row. That has to be approaching some kind of record. Baylor 71, West Virginia 61, Maryland 86, Indiana 63, Texas 66, Kansas State 51, and Oklahoma 77, Iowa State 71. In a UConn game, Brianna Stewart scored 19 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals. Boy, she's definitely going to be the number one pick coming out of college this year. Samuelson got 13 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 steals. Jefferson got 11 points. Mariah Jefferson, 11 points, 2 rebounds, 7 assists, and 2 steals. Williams got 10 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal. Butler got 10 points. Butler, coming off the bench, is their center. 10 points, 6 rebounds, and 2 assists. Nurse got 8 points, 1 rebound, and 3 assists. Collier got 6 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal. Chong got 3 points. Ekmad got 3 points, a rebound, and an assist, and a steal. And that, I think, if you count them up, 83 points. And so, UConn keeps rolling. As I said in the earlier program, I think UConn's major problem is going to be lack of height. Last year, and I don't know how many, I haven't seen them play this year, but I believe it was South Carolina, had a fairly big team and fairly big starting team, and some big players coming off the bench, 6'3", 6'4", young ladies. And I don't know how they're doing this year, but they could be a problem for UConn down the road if they ever bump heads, but who knows. Last year, the UConn team beat them at UConn, and the South Carolina kids, who were, you know, primarily freshmen and sophomore, they looked like they were deer who were caught in the headlights, and they were just, you know, overwhelmed by the fact they were playing F Stores, Connecticut, this fabulous UConn team, and they hung with them for a while, but they just didn't have it. That was certainly lack of experience. I think they have the talent to be a really good ball club. Certainly have the height. Anyway, we'll see what happens. 4:39 here on WMFO in Medford. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, January the 31st, 2016 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. Here virtually every Sunday, talking sports from 4 until 5 a.m. Thereabouts. Last Sunday, snow. I'll tell you my tale of woe, just so if you're wondering. There's no parking in front of the building anymore, on the side of the building anymore, because of construction going on. And so there's parking in the rear where I park. The other early shows on Sunday park there, I guess, as well. But anyway, not knowing whether they were plowed out or not, not want to get towed away because, you know, I get there so early in the morning, I decided I would stay home. And also not go out and shovel snow and wake up my neighbors to get my car out, but I decided the discretion was the better part of valor. Okay, 4:40 here. I got to get going, keep going, because we don't have a whole lot of time before now in the Sounds of Praise Ministry at 5 o'clock. So let's keep going. National Basketball Association. The Warriors, 108, and the 76ers, 105. Without a doubt, the Warriors were taking the 76ers really lightly, and they almost lost that game. The Raptors, 111. The Pistons, 107. Pacers, 109, and the Nuggets, 105. Pelicans, 105, and the Nets, 103. You go Pelicans, or you don't go Nets. Why am I saying that? Because we have the Nets number one pick. And when I say we, Celtics have the Nets number one pick in the draft. If you didn't know, now you know. Wizards, 123. Rockets, 122. Grizzlies, 121. And the Kings, 117. And the Cavaliers pounded the Spurs, 117-103, and another game that Tim Duncan didn't play. Don't know if he would have made a difference, but anyway, Spurs are lost now to the Warriors and the Cavaliers, who I guess everyone predicts will be their main contenders when we get to playoff time. 4:41 here on WMFO in Medford, 91.5 on your FM dial. Also on the internet, www.wmfo.org. Multicasting on iTunes.com, radio and YouTube. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, January 31st edition of the Brown Perspective on Sports. Before we cut for a little break, tennis down in Australia, down under. Down under in Australia, Angelique Kerber, who is ranked number 7 in the world, upset Serena Williams in the final, 6-4, 3-6, 6-4. Didn't see any of that game. They came on early in the morning around here. And so, therefore, Serena was leading all the way, but until she ran into Angelique, and Angelique took her 2 sets out of 3, and so we have a women's champion, a new women's champion who ranked, I guess she's good, she ranked number 7, but I had never heard of her until she beat Serena, and that wasn't yesterday, that was the day before, actually. Okay, we'll be back, more insights into, that's all the scores we have. There's no National Hockey League because they're playing the All-Star game today. So no National Hockey League games. And we'll be bringing some insights about the Patriots' loss to the Broncos last Sunday. Be back. Okay, 4:48 here on the Brown Perspective on Sports, coming to you from WMFO in Medford, 91.5 on your FM dial on the internet, www.wmfo.org, multicasting and iTunes.com, radio and YouTube. Okay, commentary on the New England Patriots 2-point loss to the Broncos last Sunday. Going into that game, I'm saying to myself, since I didn't get a chance to get on the air, that the Patriots' major problem was going to be their offensive line. Could they protect Brady? And based upon the way they played against the Kansas City Chiefs, who had a pretty good defensive line, I said, hey, we could have made, we could put a little pressure on Peyton Manning and his surgically repaired body is not going to be able to stand up under the pressure. And that was only true in part, and I don't understand the game planning on that one, but what do I know? I'm only a superficial announcer here, commentator on sports. But who expects Gostkowski to miss an extra point, And actually, the fact that it was Bill Belichick, who was a champion of making the extra point more more difficult than it had been in the past, that one boomeranged on him. Okay, so Gostkowski missed the extra point, and we didn't have a 2-point play that was going to give us the tie to go into overtime. So that was a big problem, blunder, unexpected situation on our part. Then early in the game, Broncos got two TDs from their tight end, who seldom used, and was covered at least on the second one by Jamie Collins, who you got to make an excuse. He's coming off a back injury, probably wasn't playing at 100%, so certainly didn't help. We did adjust to that and took him out of the game. He was no longer a factor, but a little bit too late. Two touchdowns from a tight end who I don't know how many touchdowns he caught all year. But anyway, that was us to break our back right there. And then we abandoned the running game, especially the play action pass, which would take some of the pressure off Brady if they, don't know whether we're going to hand the ball off or if we're going to pass it. And Steven Jackson scored the first touchdown. He didn't do badly when he was in there. And when you become one-dimensional, it's very difficult. Maybe it wasn't the offensive line's fault altogether anyway, because they knew Brady's the only one in the backfield. It's not going to run the ball. It's got to be a pass. And that made our offense very easy to defend, put the pressure on the quarterback, which they did. And when the Patriots blitzed, it was effective, but overall, the front four were not a threat, giving Manning plenty of time most of the time. So I'm assuming Jones and other tight end was also, banged up. And so therefore, we never did get the pressure from the ends that we thought we should have gotten to put on Manning, and that would have made it more difficult for him to pass. He didn't really blow us out with his passing game either, but he did enough to win the game. So there you go. The killer play was the long run by Anderson for the Broncos in the fourth quarter. That gave them great field goal position, and made our comeback that much more difficult. Then there was the two opportunities to kick the field goals. I'm saying, okay, you respect the fact that Denver's strength is their defense. Take the points while you can get them. It wasn't that like we were rolling up and down the field, and they couldn't stop us. We were having problems, and we got down there twice. Could have gone with the field goals, and if things stayed the way they were, we would have won the game by 4 points just on the field goals alone. But anyway, that's water under the bridge. How about Matt Light for offensive line coach? I don't think the Guglielmo got a good shot, because it takes a while to build that rapport with your players. Is it the players or was it the coaching? I don't think he got a fair shot, but hey, that's the way it goes in the big city. Like I said, the offensive line looked pretty good. When you consider all the injuries, the offensive line looked pretty good the week before against the Chiefs. So there you go. What can you do? You can't do much. And he took the app, but he got a job, so good for him. And at halftime, the Patriots' strength is generally making adjustments, and they did virtually nothing that was visible. Although I guess they thought that they had an opportunity to hit White out of the backfield a couple of times, and he was the point of the offense. About 15 times, I think, they threw the ball to him. He caught a few, but not enough to make a change in the game. And so I would have to question, you know, how effective was that when you've got other guys out there. I would have kept Mike Williams in to block for Brady, and on occasion, Steven Jackson. And so, therefore, with a double backfield, they would have to, you know, they wouldn't have gotten that much pressure on Brady, and would have probably double up on Edelman or somebody, and that would have freed up Amendola or Gronkowski or White or whoever else was out there. One thing's probably in our favor, LeGarrette Blount does not have to have surgery for his hip. And so he's going to be back, should be back by, you know, training camp. Devlin with a broken leg, he's going to be back. Lewis is going to be coming back. And I still keep Jackson because I think Bolden is too valuable on special teams. But the question is, how many running backs are you going to keep? And, based upon injuries, you got to keep as many as you can, I guess. Devlin certainly would add to Lewis and the other backs coming out of the backfield. You still have White, who's proven, you know, to be fairly effective in the Shane Vereen-type position coming out of the backfield. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens there. A key injury that no one mentions was Dominic Easley. Dominic Easley, after two sneeze surgeries, one in college and one his first year with the Patriots, was rounding into shape and playing really well when he went down with an injury. And that took a little oomph out of the defensive line. And the defensive line played extremely well with the additions of Akeem Hicks and other guys like that, Siva Saliga and others. So we'll see what happens there. That should not be a key factor, unless if we are drafting just for depth and we're going for the best players available at the time of the draft, I guess maybe we'll see who's out there. Keyshawn Martin, our deep threat answer, maybe. Do we give Aaron Dobson another shot? We need somebody out there. He's on, and Martin also, I think they signed him for a 2-year contract, and he's obviously great on kick returns. So I guess he's going to be a lock barring injury. And I'd restructure Mayo's contract. You may be able to get a younger player at a cheaper price, but Mayo has the thing between his ears that it takes a while to learn all the ins and outs of the NFL. And he certainly hasn't lost that. So we'll see how he does, what the people in power decide to do. And I still have to wonder, if Brady wins in court in this appeal case, why do we lose our two draft picks? But anyway, we'll see what happens with that. Someone said that the owners have to approve the return of the picks. Why? The owners did not determine that they should be taken away, so why they get to approve the return of the kicks? I don't know. Well, I have to get more information on that one. I have to wait till the appeal, and then we see what happens there. Butler, Ryan, Chung, and McCourty, one of the best defensive backfields in the league, without a doubt. So if we can keep them healthy, keep them happy, and keep them here next year, we should be pretty good in the defensive backfield. And like I said, we should draft for depth and probably maybe a backup for Gronkowski, because Chandler did not prove his merit. But maybe it just takes him a year, another year. You know, and then he had a knee injury down the, near the end of the year as well. So I think we should, you know, be able to attract some free agents. And they want to play for a contending team like the Patriots. And one thing is for sure, you got to expect Belichick's going to cut somebody, and you're going to wonder, why did he cut him? But that's the way he works. Okay, it's 4:59 here on WMFO in Medford, 91.5 in your FM dial. We're also on the internet, www.wmfo.org. We multicast on iTunes.com.